In the book of Genesis, the 25th chapter, I want to begin reading in verse 19, if you'll turn there with us, please, to the 19th verse, the 25th chapter. This is a rather amazing little story, and it gives to us the generations of Isaac, as the scriptures tell us. And this Isaac was Abraham's son, and Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. And in verse 21, Isaac asked the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him or responded to him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other. And the elder shall serve the younger." I want to call your attention to something that is both spiritual, it is contrary to nature, and whatever in regards to this statement. The Lord, before these children was ever born, said that the oldest one would serve the youngest one. That's exactly the opposite of what normally would occur. Both of these children were sons. No one can disagree with that. That's just an obvious fact, simple. Both children were the sons of Isaac. And you have to agree with that. There's not any difficulty. But God said with one of these, "I'll love one of them, and I'll hate the other." Now, he doesn't say that here. But if you look to Malachi chapter 1, you don't need to turn there. I'll just refer to it. But in the book of Malachi, God says that he would love the one and hate the other. And it's also recorded for us in the 9th chapter of the book of Romans, where the Lord said, "Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." Now, why do you suppose God said that? Here were these innocent, as we say, little children, two boys, twins, Esau and Jacob. And before they're ever born, God says that Esau is going to serve Jacob. And that in regards to this, he says, "I've loved Jacob, but I've hated Esau." Why? How can God do this? What does this mean to us? In regards to our lives, we must remember something that the Old Testament is teaching to us. And I want you to continue to read with me in Genesis 25. I mean, I'm not through there. I just wanted to mention this to you. I want to implant this deeply in your mind, is that the elder shall serve the younger. And then as we continue our story in Genesis 25, the scriptures tell us when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. After that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when she bare them. The boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And you see the contrast here? Esau was an exciting man. He was gifted. He was talented and he was intelligent. But Jacob wasn't. He was just a plain man. And he dwelt in tents just like all the other Bedouins did in those days. This seemed rather unusual. You don't think that a dashing man is going to serve a plain old man. But that's what God wanted. And then something happened. Isaac loved Esau. And the reason he loved him is because he ate of his venison. And Rebekah loved Jacob. This is good family unity, you know, in the Bible. Togetherness. Oh, we're one, you know. That ain't, well, anyway, ain't never. Jacob boiled pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And this is just one little incident that the Scriptures give to us. And Esau said to Jacob in verse 30, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." And therefore was his name called Edom. And the word Edom is very close to the word Adam, but the word Edom just means red. That's exactly what it means. So Jacob is cooking a meal, and Esau, the dashing man, comes and he says, "I'm really faint. I'm about to have some difficulty." And in verse 31, Jacob said, "Well, if you want some of my pottage, I want you to sell me this day your birthright." Do you know what his birthright was? It was the privileges that he had because of his birth. In this day, the firstborn or the oldest was usually considered to be the priestly leader of the family. He inherited a greater portion. He had the authority and was always first, and was the one that was classified as the most important. It was just because of his birth. But he sold it to Jacob. And the Scriptures tell us in verse 32 that Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? I'm going to die," he said. "And it really doesn't matter. I'll just sell you this birthright if that's what it takes." And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. And Esau despised his birthright. That doesn't sound like a great deal. It doesn't really sound like that there was a lot of consequences to this. And people say, "Well, what I do is my own business. What I want to do, what I think is my own personal, you know." Well, let's just look at this for a minute. In this little story, you see why God hated Esau and why he loved Jacob. What was it over? Their birth? Not at all. It was over their service. And then why did God say that the oldest one would serve the youngest one? Because that's the spiritual order since sin has come into the world. Adam as a human being was older than anyone else in the world. But one day God became a human being, and he was the last Adam. And the first Adam must serve the last Adam, which is the older serving the younger, humanly speaking. That's the order. Esau wouldn't live up to that. He didn't want that. His birthright didn't mean anything to him. What does it mean, birthright? Remember this. Every believer in Jesus Christ has become a part of God's family by birth. You've not been adopted, and you haven't been cleansed just so you can turn over a new leaf. You are born into the family of the Lord, and you have a birthright. Each one of you, each one of us has a birthright. We have privileges. We have an opportunity. But you can lose it. You can destroy it. Just like Esau did. I'd like to ask you to hold your hands here for a moment. Turn with me to the 12th of Hebrews, and let me show you what I mean. The 12th chapter of Hebrews, verse 15. In verse 15, the apostle says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. He's not saying you can be lost again. He's not saying you can become unborn or that you're not going to be a son. You can just fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person. Do you know what a profane person is? It is a person who takes spiritual, holy things and uses them in a worldly, sensuously described manner. He ridicules spiritual or holy things. That's what Esau did. He had a spiritual privilege in his birthright. He sold it for a single meal. And in the 16th verse, he says that there's a profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. It was gone. He couldn't get it back. he had sold it. He was still a son, but he was rejected. Well, how does that apply to us? When a believer, when a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are people who have experienced the new birth. You have the privilege to share with the firstborn an inheritance that God gives to those who are born into His family to rule and reign with Him, to be rewarded of Him, to have honor and glory with Him when He returns again. And you can sell that. And once you do, it can never be regained. When you knowingly deny and sell what you have gained by spiritual privilege and birth, you can never get it back. It's gone. That's why I teach to you things about how it's important how you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. All of you, 99% of you, are really Christian people born again into the family of God. All of you need to know what the Lord is telling us about Esau. What difference did it make? It was just between Esau and Jacob. It didn't really matter. And some say to me, well, preacher, you know, you talk about this kingdom rule and the future of the Lord's coming on. What difference does it really make if we're saved? We'll be there. If we're not, it doesn't really matter. Yes, it does. Most of you have listened to a great Bible teacher teach the things that I've just mentioned to you. You're aware of this. But let me get you to look this morning at the consequences of this little event. What difference did it make? Look back with me in your Bibles to Genesis for a moment. Let me call your attention again to verse 30. In Genesis 25 and verse 30, the scriptures tell us that Esau, because of this little transaction, that his name was called Edom, red, which was the way he was when he was born. He was a man that was born, yet he always lived in the natural realm. He never got beyond his birth. Let me ask you to turn with me to the 35th chapter of Genesis for a moment. I'm sorry, it's the 36th chapter. Now look at the first verse of Genesis 36, verse 1. In verse 1, the scriptures call our attention to something. Now these are the generations of Esau. And then it inserts this little parenthesis here, and it says, who is Edom? Now then, look with me to verse 8, same chapter. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. Look to verse 19. These are the sons of Esau, who is Edom. And then, just without boring you too much, look to the last verse, verse 43. And it says in the last part of this verse, he is Esau, the father of the Edomites. You know, God really must think we're slow to learn sometimes, mustn't he? Men say, don't ever repeat. Don't listen to what men say. God does it all the time because we're slow to learn. Why do you think he says this? You know, once would have been enough in verse 1. Esau is Edom. Verse 8, Esau is Edom. Verse 19 in other verses and all through here, Esau is Edom. He wants you to know that. He wants to emphasize that. Esau is Edom. Esau is called three things other than that name. Remember these three things. He's called Edom. He's called Seir, S-E-I-R, because of where he lived in verse 8, in Mount Seir. And he is also called Idumea, I-D-U-M-E-A, Idumea, which also means red in Greek. He's called those three things. Now then, let's notice for a moment, with this in our minds, look all through the Bible. Read through the Old Testament. And you'll read about a group of people who are called Edomites. These are descendants of Esau. What happened to them? What happened to these two brothers after this little transaction? Esau hated Jacob. Jacob had to flee his household because Esau was going to kill him. Well, if it didn't mean anything to Esau, why did he sell it? And then if it didn't mean anything to him, why did he get so upset when Jacob bought it? Because it was the fulfillment of the Lord's word. And so what does this mean anyway? It doesn't really... What is the characteristics of all this? Esau, why? He sold his birthright, but what happens to me, preacher, if I sell mine? It's no big deal. Oh, but it is. God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, Esau's brother, the land that was assigned to the Jews. And when God brought the children of Israel, Jacob, out of the land of Egypt, and he was taking them to the promised land, do you know the people who did their very best to keep them from going? The Edomites, the Amalekites. And let me say this to you. A long time ago in church history, preachers and teachers and men who knew the truth of the Lord's word quit telling people about the kingdom. And it became an obscure doctrine. And it still is. And you would say, why? Because the natural man continues to do his best to keep everyone who sees the truth of the Lord's word from going to the rest that God's promised to his people. the Edomites. Not only did this create friction between Jacob and Esau, but all of Esau's descendants hated Jacob. They still do. We usually call them today Arabs. Let me call your attention to a couple of things in Genesis 36 here for a moment. If you'll look with me to the 11th verse of Genesis 36. You'll see a man in verse 11 of Genesis 36, and his name is Eliphaz. And he lived in a place called Teman, and he had a son named Teman. Teman had this city named after him. Do you know the first persecutor of the man Job? The first person who came to criticize Job, it was Eliphaz the Temanite. And if you'll look with me for a moment, I don't know how long it'll take me to find this. I didn't write this down. I just was gonna. Mention it to you, but I guess the Lord didn't want me to mention it to you. Maybe He did. Look in the next verse. Long way off there. But anyway, verse 12. It's all right, y'all laugh. You've done worse. I mean, don't even remember the questions. Anyway, verse 12. There was a son born to Esau's son. And in verse 12 it says that there was born Amalek. Do you know who the children of Israel fought with after the water come out of the rock? The Amalekites. Do you know who it was that was the instrument in the downfall of the first king of Israel, whose name was Saul? It was an Amalekite that Saul saved. The descendants of Esau. Do you know who it was that betrayed David? And his name is D-O-E-G. I usually call him Dog. I don't know what everybody else calls him, but it's D-O-E-G. He betrayed David when he was running from Saul, and he was an Edomite. The great enemies of Solomon were Edomites. And if you know all of this, and if you understand what the spiritual significance of this is that once you know the truth of the fact that the Lord Jesus has promised a kingdom to those who will live up to their birthright, and for those who will be true and diligent in their service to Jesus Christ, you know that the natural man will do everything he can to keep you from obtaining it. Well, this still exists today. Why do the Jews have so much trouble? Why does Israel have so much trouble in their land? Because of these people. Well, one day people say that we're going to see peace. You know, why is it so alarming that we send our men into this area, this very area of the world, militarily? Because we're in the midst of a struggle which there is no end. People say to me, well, you know, I had a doctor to call me on the phone, And he said, boy, he said, I really hope that that there'll be peace over there one day. This is a volatile area of the world, and I hope. And I said, don't worry about it. There won't. There won't be peace. Oh, I sure hope you're wrong. I said, that's not my opinion. It's the Word of God. Well, Brother Rose, you know, we have to hope for peace. No, you don't. Look with me in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel 35. If you just hold your hand here for a moment. Ezekiel 35. This is the prophet Ezekiel. And he says in the first verse, as the Lord speaks to him in Ezekiel, page 879, if you have your Scofield Bible with you. He says, the word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel, and he says, son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir, Esau, the Edomites. Prophesy against it. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, O Mount Seir, I am against thee, and I will stretch out my hand against thee, and I will make thee most desolate. I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Why? Because thou hast had a perpetual hatred and has shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity, and in the time that their iniquity had an end. And in verse 14 of this same chapter, God says, when the whole world rejoices, I will make thee desolate. O Mount Seir, and all Idumea, even all of it, and they shall know that I am the Lord. The Bible prophesies in Joel 3:19 and in the book of Obadiah that there will not be one Edomite in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. That the Lord will utterly destroy this. And all of that came to pass because one guy sold his birthright for something to satisfy a hunger that he had physically. And you can do the same thing. You have the privilege and the opportunity to qualify for the Lord's kingdom, but you can sell it. You'll still be a son or daughter. But once you knowingly and openly and understandably sell that, you can never get it back. Now, I don't mean that that you can't sin. That's not what I mean at all. All of us sin. But once you understand kingdom truth, once you understand what the Lord's teaching about here, and you belittle that or profane it with that understanding, you can't get it back. I mean, people backslide. People lose their character and they go wayward and go astray. All of us have done that. All of us have. But if you reject this truth knowingly and willingly, you become a person that's known as an apostate. And you won't get it back. That's how important your service to the Lord Jesus Christ is. Does it matter if I serve Him or not? Yes, it does. Does it matter if I live for Him or not? Yes, it does. Well, I thought all you had to do was just be saved and then just, you know, do whatever you wanted to. You're wrong. This one little incident affected all of his descendants. Look at the church. I'm not glorifying this place. This is a very simple little place. This little building. This is just... And you don't think that this is the only place, but where do you go? Where do you go? And hear men and women teach you the truth of the Lord. How many ain't Ethel Smiths are they? The natural man does everything he can to keep you from knowing that you're facing this. Even the Christian that's carnal does this. They do all they can to destroy you. But Esau sold it. And he never got it back. You can also. Why did God hate Jacob or hate Esau and love Jacob over this incident? I want to share with you just two thoughts in regard, one thought in regards to each one of these. You know, do you know where the area of the, have you ever heard of a place that's called Armageddon, where God gathers together the, do you know what area of the world this is in? Edom. In the old, you know, there's a place that's called Petra. It's a place where supposedly the people of Israel will flee to. And this is a city, an ancient city, that's called the Rosy Red City. And when the sun comes up on this city, the stones and the mountains are a rosy red color. And I don't have to rely on that because I've been there. And this is where Esau and his descendants persecuted the people of Israel and where they lived. And it's desolate now. They went in, they're wise. They're very wise people. They went in and they carved out of the mountain homes and temples and buildings. And they decorated them. And they're awesome. They put rooms in them. They had a natural water supply there. And there is no way that you can get into this city except by crude means of travel. They're wise and very intelligent. But they've lost their birthright, and they hate Israel. And that's why God hates them. Did you know that the Bible never says that Esau loved anything? It says that Jacob loved Rachel. It never says Esau loved anything. And the difference between Jacob and Esau is that one had the capacity to recognize spiritual events, spiritual values, and had the capacity to love, and the other didn't. And I've just given you a scratching the surface history of the Edomites. It's all through the Bible. It happened as the result of one person selling his birthright. And that can happen to you. How do you try to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? What does it mean to come and make your life count for Him? Do you have the capacity to love others? Do you want to understand the Lord's Word? People say, well, preacher, I read the Bible and I just don't understand it. Keep reading it till you do. Well, I'd like for you to explain it to me. I can't. God, the Holy Spirit, has to reveal it to you. Jacob was full of flaws. He wasn't perfect at all. Neither are we. But Esau knew what he was doing. And I've seen several people who knew what they were doing reject this truth, and they don't amount to very much. Esau's descendants hated, persecuted, and destroyed. You have an opportunity now to live for Jesus Christ and serve Him. You won't be rewarded now, necessarily. People used to teach me, Royce, if you'll put a tenth of your salary in the church, God will abundantly bless you. God will take care of you. But He may not abundantly bless you. People used to teach me, if you'll just put it in, God will give you 100-fold. Well, He never has. Yet. Kind of like the little boy and his daddy went to church. And in this poor church, they usually gave the offering to one person each Sunday morning. And that morning, the dad gave the little boy a dime and said, just put that in the offering box this morning. And he did. And so when they started to leave, they gave the father the box. It was his time. They went down the road, and the old man just tickled to death to get this box, and he opened it up, and there wasn't anything in it but a dime. And the little boy said, well, Dad, if you'd have put more in it, you'd have got more out of it, wouldn't you? And that's what I'm trying to tell you. If you'll put more in it, you'll get more out of it. While we stand together for a word of prayer.